Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you all here today. Oh, it's a new year. How are you feeling about it? You're 7 days in. Are you doing all right? Okay, so far, so good. That's just kind of be the way it is right now. Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad that you're here today. It's a glorious day, even to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm glad that you are here. A couple of things that I just want to share with you as we get going, and then we're gonna spend some time in prayer this morning and pray for the people of Perry, Iowa, and the happenings that took place this last week, and just be praying for them, and then praying for us as a church as we embark on this new year, and just spend some time with prayer. But if you have a phone and you want to use the QR code, please do so. That would be great. You can do this at any point in time throughout the throughout your time here today. First thing that I want to remind parents about is that we have Hope Kids this coming Wednesday at 6:30, and that's going to be kicking off this next this year, and then also a new sermon or a new series for our kids as well. So parents, you don't want to miss out giving them the opportunity to be here this coming Wednesday. Also, we're going to be having the grab and go dinner at 6 o'clock, and that is for families within the church that bring their kids to Hope Kids or to youth group. And so feel free to come on down for that at 6 o'clock. I heard that that it is walking tacos this week, so I mean that's a huge bonus. And who doesn't like chips and nachos and tacos and all that stuff? It's well worth your time right there. I mean, Doritos, can you ask for anything better on a Wednesday night? I don't think so. So make sure you're here for that. And then that same night as well is the Parents Life Group. So parents, when you bring your kids to Hope Kids or to Youth Group, stick around and you'll have a chance to be discipled as well. So that's some good things that are happening. And as always, just a few reminders for you that we have Steeps and Sweets that happens every Sunday at 9:15 here. And you can come in and get a little snack and then some hot beverage if you would like, and then just opportunities to connect with people. That is a powerful thing in our community, and I hope that you're taking advantage of that. I want to celebrate something with you, and I just wonder, I mean, would you be willing to just clap just for fun? Let's just clap, and I know you don't even know what you're celebrating yet, but we are celebrating that our church has paid off its mortgage, and it paid the last payment in December. So, amen. You know, we don't accept any praise for that other than what God has done. God has done some amazing things in our presence over the last number of years, but we have been, I believe that as a church, we've been diligent. Your board has been diligent in making sure that we take care of things and taking care of paying not only just our mortgage, but putting more on top of it so that we can eliminate it as soon as possible. And that is fantastic. So thank you so much because you play a massive role in that massive, massive role in your giving and your tithes and your offerings. So thank you so very much. But what we're going to do and what your board has decided to do is that this spring, we're going to have a little bit more of a celebration. So be looking forward to that. I have no idea what that will look like. I don't know if there'll be fire involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But I'm sure, Julie, we're not letting you get anywhere near fire when you're that excited. But one of the things that I know is going to happen is that there will be food and celebration. And so that's what we're looking forward to. This week, you just want to be diving into your word and to the word of God and being diligent in your relationship with him, because that's what matters. As we start a new year, maybe the focus can be that you just are digging into your relationship with Jesus. This week, you may have received an email from me that is actually not from me. And so something happened, and I don't know how it happened. I don't know what took place, but there was an email that looked like it may have came from me that went out to many different people in the church body, and it was a scam email. They have taken my combination of emails, stuck it together, and even took a picture off of our website and attached that to the email and made it look like it was an email from me, and it's an actual scam. So if you see an email from me that looks like mine, delete it. Just get rid of it, because it's a scam, and so you don't want anything to do with it. So please do that. Don't reply to it. Don't do anything like that. Just delete it. If there's any other adjustments or changes to my email, I will let you know. But as of right now, we're going to keep it the same and just kind of continue on. But I'll be adjusting passwords and things like that. They actually didn't get into my email. They just created something that looked like me. And that's always fun. It's a great day in the world that we live in, right? So anyways, let's take some time and pray. Let's give God some thanks and gratitude for what he's done in our midst, and let's take some time in prayer this morning. Father God, we come before you today on this first Sunday of the new year, and we take time to just focus in on who you are, that you are our Lord and Savior, that you are the author of salvation. You are a mighty redeemer. You are God of heaven and earth, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the high and exalted one. And God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come before you and to worship, to sing songs, to give praises to you, because you are worthy. You are the only one that is worthy of our praises, worthy of our songs. No one else is, God. You alone are worthy. And we thank you for that. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for the ways in which you have worked in our midst. God, you have given us great gifts, and all good things come from you. And Lord, we rejoice knowing that you have given us the ability to pay off our mortgage, and we celebrate that, because God, that is a weight off of us as a church. And so we pray that you would give us wisdom in how to move and what to do about the calling that you have given us. So thank you, God, for that. But Lord, in our world, there are so many pains, there are so many struggles, there are so many troubles that hit us all the time. And Lord, in our state, it was rocked this week by senseless acts. And so God, we pray for the schools in Perry, Iowa, and the people that surround that community and the surrounding area, and we lift them up to you. Your word tells us to comfort those that are hurting, the downtrodden, the brokenhearted. And God, I know that there are brokenhearted people in that community. So we ask, Father, that your hand of mercy would be upon them, that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, that you, God, would speak truth into the world, that your light of your Son Jesus would shine in this darkness that is so overwhelming. But may your name be praised. My God, will you comfort the brokenhearted? You are near to those that are hurting. And God, in many other places across the world, there are other conflicts, there are other struggles, there are other difficulties, and we pray that your hand of mercy, your omnipotent and omnipresent hand, would be present in those situations as well, in Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza. God, you can speak peace into those situations, and we pray that you would. Our world is in a very unique place, God. But we know in the midst of struggles, in the midst of war, in the midst of difficulty, that when all things come together, your name is the only name that stands. Your name is the only one that all people will bow down and worship. We know the end of the story. We know that you are victorious, God. Help us to not lose sight of that. Help us to not lose sight that you are victorious. And we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, according to your word. And so, God, we pray these things in your son's holy name, the name of Jesus. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So have you ever had the question, what's next? After an eventful day, after a day full of activities, have you ever had someone say, what's next? I know that I did that as a kid. I know that mom and dad, they did some things and some activities and events, and I was like, yeah, what are we doing next? You ever, and mom and dad had nothing else planned? That was it. The day was done because it was full and there's nothing more to do. Is there anybody else like that besides me that is just ready for what's next? Okay, maybe not. But maybe your kids are that way, or maybe you're the one that is like, I am so excited about what's next and I can barely contain myself. I don't think it's an unfamiliar question. It's possible, it's very possible that a question of this sort pops into your mind every now and then of, what's next? What's God got in store for what's ahead? And maybe, just maybe, you got into the beginnings of the New Year celebration and you were like, okay, what's next? Maybe you were waiting for what the next shoe is going to drop. You've heard that kind of statement before of the next struggle, difficulty. Maybe I'm kind of, that might be an old thing. I don't know. Maybe. But we kind of get into transitions. We kind of get into routine and we begin to think about what is going to be happening. It's highly possible that the people of Israel had these types of thoughts. They had these types of questions when their leader, their longtime 40-year leader, was no more. When Moses closed his eyes in this life and passed on to be with God, and Joshua was given responsibility to lead. Maybe the people of Israel were thinking, oh my, what's next? And as we begin to think about transitions and we begin to think about what it is that is next, I'm hoping that Joshua's story and the passage of scripture from Joshua 1:1 to Joshua 1:9 will give us a little bit of context, will help us out to think about what it is that God has for us that is next. So let's just jump right in. Joshua 1:1-9. If you got your Bibles, open them up. If you got your Bible app, you can utilize that as well, or you can follow along on the screen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea and the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Say that with me. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful whatever you do. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Start this out, and I kind of title this a passing of the torch. We could also call it a passing of the baton, a passing of leadership, but the torch, I think of the passing of the Olympic torch when it goes from one runner to the next, and it's the passing, the deliberate passing of the torch. It's not a secret that was hidden from the people of Israel. It wasn't something that they were trying to hold back, but Moses, their leader, he died. He was no more. He did what all humanity will do or has done, and he ceased to breathe. And the Lord is not mincing any words. He's not. It says, the Lord, or my servant Moses is dead. Period. I know it kind of sounds morbid when I say it that way, and I feel bad for even saying it, because it's something that we're all going to do, and we don't like that thought, but it's basically what God is doing. This is the truth, and this is what has happened. But now then, you and all these people, quick transition. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? I mean, he's going from one word to the next. Moses is dead. Now, you and all these people. Kind of sounds rude. Kind of sounds harsh. Did they forget that Moses had this massive legacy of 40 years of leadership, leading the people from the clutches of Pharaoh through the difficulties of slavery, and then leading them through the Exodus? Did they forget all this stuff? Did God forget all this stuff? No, he didn't. If you want to have a more of a picture of what happened in this transition, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 34. You could flip your page of your Bible, maybe. I don't know where it's at in your Bible. But in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it tells us that the Israelites spent 30 days mourning Moses and Moab, just outside of the promised land. 30 days of mourning. They didn't forget who Moses was. They didn't forget his exploits. They didn't forget his leadership. They didn't forget what was going on. And if you feel as if Joshua chapter 1 is too abrupt, take some time and read Deuteronomy chapter 34. That'll make us feel a whole lot better. But this Deuteronomy chapter 34 gives us a little bit of a bridge between Moses and Joshua's stories. And in it, we can see that there's a couple of things that are happening. First of all, is that they are giving honor where it's due. They give honor to God and what God has done in their lives, but they also give honor to those that have impacted them, and that was Moses and his life. He was revered as a leader and would be revered for years and years to come. They also give thanks for what God has done, and they know that God is faithful for what is to come. Really, this is a passing of the torch type of moment for Israel, and for us, from last year to this year, we kind of do a similar thing where we honor what God has done in our past, what God has done in the year 2023. We thank him for what he's done and for those that have impacted us. Before we move to the next, we give honor to what God has done and those that have been with us. We thank God for what he has done. And we appreciate that we can trust in him for what is to come. And I know that we're only seven days in, and it can feel like a longer time than that, where the new year feels like old habit already. But it's not. There's still time to make sure that we honor it, give thanks for it, and know that God is faithful. But sometimes, if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't want something new because we're still stuck in the past for whatever reason. Maybe it's because 2023 was just not that fun of a year and we're not ready to move on because we still have things to deal with. So however you approach this new year, and you look back at 2023, whether it was good, bad, indifferent, horrible, terrible, fantastic, dramatic, traumatic, or uneventful, will you take the time to just honor, give thanks, and trust in God's faithfulness? See, transitions happen wherever we're at in life. Transitions happen whether we're ready for them or not. And sometimes we have to walk boldly into what is next. We have to be willing, like Joshua was, to step into the role that God has for us, whatever it might be. For Joshua, it was a leadership role. He was in charge. But as you step into this new day, what does God have for you? What is God calling you to at this point of your life? Because if we take steps into this next year thinking that it's all going to be the same as last, I think we would be putting ourselves in not a position to really experience what God has for us. Because I don't know if we'll be ready for what God has in store. So will you be willing to step in and trust God for what he has for you? Now, this is not a complete sermon on looking at the beauty of 2024. That's not what this is all about. But it is about knowing that we are called to something, knowing that we have a responsibility. And Joshua and his story can set us up for it. So let's talk about next steps, because this is where Joshua spends his time. Now, once again, I just want to read to you this passage. It says, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave or forsake you." First thought is this. Joshua needed to realize that he had a role to play. Joshua needed to realize that he had a role to play, and you and I have to do the same thing. We have a role to play, not only in the life that we're living, but we have a role to play in the work of this church. We have a role to play in the way our home works. We have a role to play in our jobs or responsibilities, and we have something to do, whether we're retired or whether we're still in school. We have a responsibility. What is your role? And are you willing to to dive into it? Are you willing to do what you are called to do? The next thing is that Joshua says, that Joshua is told, it says, get ready. Get ready. Now, this was a physical get ready for the people of Israel. They had to pack up all their stuff. They had to get themselves moving. They had to take all of their belongings and physically uproot themselves and go. I don't know if that's what God is calling us to do. I'm just getting really excited this morning. My mic is going all over the place. I don't know if that's what God is calling us to do, to get ready and to move. I don't think that that's the thus saith the Lord at this point in our lives, but I do think that there is some movement that each of us has to make for the work that is ahead of us. So get ready. What does that mean for you and me? That means that we have to spend time with God to know what he's speaking to us. So take the time daily to spend with God in prayer, in Bible reading, and talking with other like-minded individuals so that we know what it is that God is calling us to do. But before we take any steps, we have to recognize that it's all about I. Now, that I is not me as in I or you as in I. It's as in God. If you look at the passage of scripture, you know how many times it says I. God is talking about himself multiple times in this passage of scripture because he is the one that orchestrates all things. It's about him and it's always about him. Too many times we insert ourselves into the picture and too many times we make ourselves be the primary person in the story and it's not about you or me, but it's about him and him alone. And when it comes to his story, it's always his story, not ours. But we get to be a part of it. And we have to remember that he's the one who is doing the talking. And he's the one who's doing the leading. He's the one that is doing the encouraging. He's the one that is doing the calling and moving us to where we're supposed to be and reminding us that we have a role to play. And along with that, God will do the heavy lifting. God's the one who will walk into the land of Canaan and begin to help them settle in to that land. He will give them the strength to defeat their enemies. He will give them the homes that they will live in, the vineyards that they will plant, and all of that. God does the heavy lifting. Many times we try to take responsibility and we try to do the things that are only for God to do and we assume responsibility. And Joshua needed to learn that lesson that it's not his responsibility, but God does the heavy lifting. And he tells them, you're going to possess a land that is massive and long. Everywhere you touch your feet, I am going to be with you. And don't miss this. God is doing a work. God is doing some generous, generous work in the lives of the Israelites, and he will do the same in your life as well if we just trust that he is going to do the heavy lifting. God is gracious in his gift giving. Every good gift comes from the Father who gives generously. Can you think about the way that God has been generous to you in your life this last many years? How's God been generous to you? He will continue to be generous, because he's a faithful God. He loves you dearly, more than you can ask or imagine. And along with that, God will be with you. As God was with Moses, he's going to be with Joshua. Is it too far of a stretch to talk about God's faithfulness in our own lives in this area? I don't think so. God was undoubtedly with Moses in every way. From the burning bush to the 40 years in the desert, God is with him every step of the way. And Joshua is told by God that he will be with him as well. And we have a promise that we can take to the bank as well. And that promise is the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the gift of the Spirit indwells in us, and we are given that same presence that God gave to Moses and to Joshua, and we receive it. And he is with us along the way. God's word tells us that he will never leave or forsake us. That's a promise that you and I can hold on to. That's a promise that you and I can hold on to tightly. When the difficult days of 2024 come, they will. Will we hold on to that truth? But God's not done yet. God's not done. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the commands. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I don't think it's a coincidence that after God says all these things that he has said, that I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to be with you, that he is going to do the heavy lifting and all of that stuff, that after all of that, Jesus then gives them commands. And I think that's where our responsibility kicks in. You notice that Joshua is told only to be strong and courageous on the outset. He's not told, now, okay, now you got to be an amazing warrior. He's not told, now you need to figure it out yourself. He says, be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. But while I'm being with you, while I'm working, while I'm doing all of this, while I'm giving you all of this and all the people that are with you, be strong and courageous. Interestingly enough, when we look at these two words, they define themselves very similarly, even though they are two separate words, especially in the Hebrew language. Strength and courage have similar definitions. Both of them tend to be focused in on being indication of standing firm, being willing to just show strength, and I especially like the thought of standing firm. When I was younger with my brothers and I, we would push on each other and try to, you know, brothers knock each other down or whatever. And I was the littlest, always, still am the littlest. I don't know how that happened, but we'd play the push each other game, and then it would turn into mercy, and then I would run to my mom. But whenever we did the push each other game, you never stand with your feet parallel across, because your foundation is so weak. So you always put one foot in front of the other so that when someone pushes you, you can kind of withstand and balance. It took me a long time to figure that out. But that's the type of thought process that we need to have, is that in order to stand firm, we stand in a ready position. Because what is coming is an onslaught of difficulty that if we're not prepared for, we won't be able to stand firm. So stand firm. Be courageous. Not cowardly. Not running away from things. Stand courageously. Stand strong. Be firm. Face the direction and where you're going. When we're not paying attention, that's when the onslaught knocks us down. Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. And we do that by careful obedience. Of all the things that God could have said to Joshua and the Israelites, careful obedience. Careful obedience. Know the word of God. Obedience matters. Know the word of God. Did you catch what he says in there? He says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Careful obedience. It's not just something that we take lightly. The word of God is not something we just take lightly, but we take the words of it and we are careful to be obedient to them. Just like we're obedient to our parents when we were younger, hopefully, we take that same obedience in our relationship with God. But the only way that we know how to be obedient is by knowing the word of God. But notice there's a connection between being strong and courageous and being carefully obedient. To be carefully obedient, you have to be strong and courageous. To take the steps necessary to follow God's word, you have to be strong and courageous. It's easier to walk away from what you know to be true than it is to walk the path of obedience. Let me put it in other ways. One of the things that often happens at this time of year is New Year's resolutions. Love and hate these things all at the same time. Yes, I said hate in the church, and I'm not talking about hating people. I'm talking about hating resolutions, okay? Because I've done this for a long time of saying, oh, yes, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to eat healthy and clean and exercise every single day, and I'm going to have 15 pounds lost by January 3rd. And it's never going to happen. Because it's easier to have the 17 Oreos, right? It's easier to say yes to pizza than it is to a salad. It's easier to say yes to what's in the cupboard than it is to buy healthy, clean, living food, organic this and water and air. And we love it, right? Okay, you're catching Pastor Chopper's sarcasm of just... You want to eat healthy, you get nothing that tastes good. I'm just kidding. It all tastes good. Anyways, it's easier to be swayed than it is to stand strong and courageous and do what God has called you to do. And in obedience, that's the truth. It's easier for us to slide one way or the other. It's easier to tell a white lie instead of the truth. But aren't we supposed to be strong and courageous? So we put our feet down and we stand in firm position and we're ready for what is coming. We tell the truth because the truth is what will set us free. Amen? Amen. So we're strong and courageous. But don't forget this, to keep the book of the law, the word of God, on your lips. Say it, on your lips. Keep the word of God on your lips. How do you do that? You only do that by knowing God's word. You only are able to keep the word of God on your lips by knowing the word of God and spending time in it and ingesting it and eating it up for all that it is and tasting and knowing that the word of God is good. But we have to keep it on our lips. We let the words of God be the words that we speak. We let it be on the tip of our tongue. We're mindful of the word of God throughout our day, not just one day a week, but throughout our day, day and night. Meditate on it day and night. I am always convicted when I read the Psalms and I read King David saying, I have meditated on your words day and night. They have been my tears. When was the last time we cried the words of God because we've been meditating on it day and night? In order for us to be obedient, we have to have the word of God on our lips. For us to be able to take steps into this next year of what God has in store for us, individually and collectively as a church, wherever that leads us, wherever that takes us, wherever that that direction is that God has for us, we cannot afford to not be strong and courageous. We cannot afford to not be careful in our obedience, and we cannot afford to not have the word of God on our lips as we make strides for what God wants to do here and in our community. We can't afford it. But if we're not willing to be strong and courageous, we might as well. Might as well not even take strides. But God's not done. He ends this with three don'ts. Three don'ts. And I don't know how to write that properly, because that apostrophe is in the wrong spot. Anyways, I'll do some grammatical work someday. Three don'ts. Don't get distracted. Don't get fearful. Don't get discouraged. How easy is it for us to get distracted? How many times have you gotten distracted while I've been talking today? Me, about five. I'm just kidding. It's easy for us to get distracted, isn't it? It's easy for us to get distracted. We will sit down and be in a conversation, and there'll be times where you're having 17 thoughts before the conversation is even 5 minutes in, because your brain just goes constantly from one thing to the next. You are easily distracted. I'm easily distracted. Many times in a conversation, we're thinking about what we need to be saying before the person's even done talking. We're thinking about what we're going to say next to encourage or to challenge or to something. Or maybe it's, oh, we just had a squirrel thought from, and we just needed to chase that squirrel, because that's a movie reference. If you're not up on that one, you're just going to have to trust me on it. And we're too easily distracted, like dogs that are chasing squirrels. One thing to the next. And we do this all the time. We can sit down for an intentional time with Jesus, and sooner or later we're finding ourselves scrolling on Facebook. Or we find ourselves starting to type an email, because we had that thought, oh, I need to email that person, or I need to text that person. That's me. I can do that easily. Let's not be distracted with what God has called us to this year. Let's not be distracted and forget the call that Jesus has given us to advance the kingdom that is his. Let's not be distracted. Second thought was, don't be fearful. Don't get fearful. Anybody get afraid talking to new people? If that's not you, I have jobs for you. Let's go and talk to new people. But to be quite honest, we're sometimes afraid. We're afraid to do what is right. I remember one of my prayers when I was 19 years old was, God, give me the courage to no longer be fearful to go the direction that you want me to go with my life. He answered that prayer, but it was my honest prayer of, I am too easily swayed in being diligent in my relationship with you, God. I'm afraid what people will think. If people really knew me. Have you ever had those thoughts? Let's not be fearful in our relationship with him. Let's not be fearful. Last one, don't get discouraged. We have every reason to be encouraged because we have a great God that loves us dearly. We have a God that cares for us, a God that has plans for us. But when things don't go our way, when things get tough, when things get difficult, we get discouraged. When that conversation didn't happen the way that we thought it was going to happen, we get discouraged. When my boss, your boss, yells at you, our bosses yell at us or talk to us about things that we need to do differently or something like that, we begin to beat ourselves up and we get bogged down by negativity. We get discouraged by aches and pains and hurts and habits that we don't like. Let's give those things over to God and let God deal with them and be encouraged by him, by his word. So don't get distracted. Don't get fearful. Don't get discouraged. For us to be able to walk into a new day with what God has in store for us, we have to be willing to take these steps of being strong and courageous, being careful with our obedience and having the word of God on our lips and being willing to not have don'ts in our lives. Father, we ask that you would be with us in this time in our life. As we look forward to a new year, we just ask God that you will do in us a work that is similar to Joshua's. That as Joshua was receiving a call, a passing of the torch of leadership to his life, and we do that same thing from a passing of the torch for a new year, God, will you give us the strength that we need? Will you give us the reminders that you are with us every day, that you have a desire for us to be faithful for your kingdom, for your purposes? God, we don't know exactly where you're going to lead us this year. That's not our responsibility, but our responsibility is to be faithful. So give us the strength to do that. Give us the courage to stand firm, so that when the foundations that we establish by our devotion, our careful obedience, and keeping your word at the forefront of our minds and our mouths, we can advance your word, your kingdom, for your purposes. And we thank you for that, God. God, I pray that you would speak to us this week. I pray that you would reveal to us individually the areas of our lives that we need to be ready to step into. As Joshua was encouraged to be prepared to step into leadership, Lord, may we have those similar responses that you are calling us to something new. And I pray, Lord, that whatever it might be, a new initiative, stepping into leadership, stepping into relationships with our neighbors or our friends or our community or something that you just have for us that is least expected, God, that we would be willing to trust you in that. Pray, God, that you would reveal that to us this week for your kingdom's purposes, not for ours, not for our personal things, but for your glory and for your kingdom, God. We pray all these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Won't you stand and we'll end our time giving praise to God.